You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we're back. Jim Donovan, Matt Wilhelm on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jason Gibbs during the break was telling me about, just thoughts and quotes coming out from Kyle Shanahan in reference to Johnny Manziel. So we'll call Jason back in after an exquisite after further review.
Riveting,
segment.
Huh?
Riveting. And now what about Kyle Shanahan?
All right, so Kyle Shanahan, he declined to share specifics about what led to his departure from the Browns, but Shanahan spoke out favorably for embattled quarterback Johnny Manziel. This is from ESPN Atlanta. According to Shanahan, Johnny's a great guy, and I think he does get a little bit of a bad rep with that because Johnny worked very hard for me. I really enjoyed coaching him. I don't know what he's going through right now with regards to the rehab treatment, but I think I'm confident Johnny will work it out. I think he has a chance to have a good future.
You know what? Just initially listening to those comments is, he said he's a good guy. And I think that everybody, you know, Kevin O'Connell has said, you know, Johnny Manziel's a good guy. I think it was Bruce Feldman we had on last week said Johnny Manziel was a good kid, good guy. But it's his, you know, his upbringing and some of the internal stuff for Johnny Manziel that makes his, his makeup a little bit funky and has created the monster that is Johnny Football. But very little emphasis on who he was as a quarterback and about, you know, who he was on the football field. It's like, you know, you can get along with someone, but do you produce in your profession, which is throwing the football? And, you know, I would have loved to hear Kyle Shanahan say, you know, he's not only going to have, you know, he's going to have a great career. He's got what it takes. You know, Cleveland was, you know, correct in making that decision to go with a guy like Johnny Manziel. He just needs to X, Y, Z. And that's, to me, what was missing. Because you could say, oh, yeah, how do you feel about so-and-so? Oh, he's a good guy. You know,
well, yeah, and Brian Hoyer says the same things about him. And, you know, Brian also is quick to point out that a lot of people just read in and immediately read into a situation without knowing what the situation truly was.
Right.
But would read into it and say, well, you two guys didn't get along at all. I mean, you were rivals. He was barking right on your heels to take over as the starting quarterback without ever playing a game in the NFL. And Brian said, and he said it before, he said it out at the in all of these media outlets that he's been talking to, but he said it to me before that Baltimore game that I alluded to yesterday that, you know, he's a good guy. I got along with him very, very well. So, I mean, he echoes the same thing that Bruce Feldman and Kyle Shanahan and other people have said about him. The striking thing to me will still be how lost he looked on the field in those games. And it wasn't just Cincinnati. It was the next Sunday against Carolina. And he just wasn't there. He looked so much better in the summer when he played in the preseason games. Now, and was that because by the time he got in there, he was playing against lesser foes and you know, now he's playing against the Bengals, who at that time needed the win.
Sure.
And Carolina the same way. Carolina had no slippage to lose that game or they would have been out of that division race in the NFC.
And, Jim, you know, the one thing that pops into my mind as you say that is, when you make a decision to make a change at the quarterback position that can influence you potentially making the playoffs or not, there had to be many people vote in favor of Johnny Manziel. And that through his growth process at quarterback and what they saw of him in the meeting rooms and on the practice field, they thought what they saw was fit for an NFL football game.
Right.
And for what we said, that's the cause for concern is the evaluation process of the maturation of Johnny Manziel, the quarterback. How did you feel from what you saw would transfer to the game field, and when you saw that it didn't, how could you go ahead and do it again, you know, and think that all of a sudden it would just get fixed because he was, you know, cramming for that test, which was on Sundays.
Yeah, and I think he was cramming.
Oh, he definitely
test,
was.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was cramming.
And I thought Kyle Shanahan and him, maybe why they have a great relationship, because it was spent together most recently towards the end of the season, but I thought that Kyle Shanahan did not do anything of diligence in a play calling for Johnny Manziel. Those zone reads and those actions that they were trying to have him throw off of and adapting the entire system to Johnny as opposed to Johnny adapting to the 10 other guys in Kyle Shanahan's system.
So you think maybe that they try to create this Johnny Manziel offense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes, all that pistol and having multiple.
Well, they were in that pistol,
and then they had the offset back in the pistol. And I'm like, Johnny Manziel needs space. Yeah. You know, go five wide if you're going to have him in the shotgun all day. You know, don't have multiple bodies in and around Johnny.
Yeah.
And guys, to follow up here in the article, Shanahan does talk a little bit about him leaving Cleveland. And here are direct quotes from him in this article. "You make some tough decisions, and Cleveland obviously was a tough decision for me," Shanahan said. "Nobody likes to be in the media. I'd rather just hide in the hole and never have to do this, ever. But it's part of the business, and I understand that. But you can't make decisions just based off of that. You've got to make decisions of what you think is best for you, what's best for your family. If you believe it's right, then you live with it, and you live with the consequences, and you hope tough decisions end up working out. The fact that it's led me to Atlanta and I'm in this situation right now, I couldn't be any happier."
And I believe that. I really do. I always felt this was a pit stop for him.
I do too.
You know, I really did. I thought it was a pit stop, and I thought early on last year with the way he was putting together that Browns offense and the limited amount of playmakers that he had, and the type of football that they were playing at that time, which was high scoring, high octane. I mean, they were winning games completely different of the way that we thought that they would win games last year. I mean, I thought they were going to win 9-6, you know, if they were going to win. I didn't think that they were going to be running the ball the way they were, or, you know, hitting these wide open receivers on these bootleg rollouts. And so I thought not only was it going to be a pit stop, but I thought he was going to be a head coach.
Yes.
I thought he was on the list right at the top of the hot coordinator that would get an NFL head coaching job. Look at what this guy's doing in Cleveland. He's got no Gordon, he's got no Cameron, and he's got two rookie running backs.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think in some cases, maybe when Kyle Shanahan considered leaving the Cleveland Browns and then made it a reality, he thought he'd have more interviews than he did. You know, and of course, his dad was interviewed for some jobs. The other one that's very surprising, a lot like Kyle Shanahan, is Doug Marrone leaving Buffalo, but yet just ending up as an offensive line coach with an assistant head coaching tag down in Jacksonville. It's these guys walked out of jobs where doing another year, they could have probably handpicked the job that they go out and get, you know, of doing diligence to the opportunity at hand, but they chose to leave. And I think in some cases, why Kyle Shanahan talks about, you know, his opportunity down there at Atlanta is because it's a fresh one. And it's, you know, and their expectations down there, you know, may or may not be all that high with as bad as the NFC South was this year.
Yeah. Well, he's got a quarterback, too.
Yes.
I mean,
true.
He's got a quarterback. I mean, that's, you know, you find that these guys take a look at that. A lot of people felt that when Jeff Fisher wanted to come back in as the head coach of the team, and remember, he had a couple of teams that he was, you know, that were wooing him. He had a lot of teams that were wooing him. He went at the time with the team that looked like they had the given at quarterback, and that would have been Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was there. And you just thought, boy, that he'll build the defense. Bradford will grow as a quarterback, and they are ready to go. But, it hasn't happened only because Bradford's been hurt. Now, I felt there was a point when Kyle was getting ready for the Browns to play Houston. And he had Houston connections before, right? He had been with Kubiak.
Yes. Yeah.
That people asked him about Houston. You know, I loved being down in Houston. And Kyle did not enjoy doing the Thursday afternoon thing with the media.
Yes.
He's telling the truth when he said, "I'd like to be the guy in the hallway just ducking into an office." But I thought that he was kind of nostalgic, and that he liked Houston, and he liked that area, and he liked maybe the possibility of coaching down there again. And I really always felt this was a pitch.
That was almost his 1 foot outside, out the door kind of comment.
You know, it was. And they were getting ready for – that was a big game.
It was
huge. They were getting ready for.
Absolutely.
They were coming off the heels of the Bengal game, I think.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Doug Deacon's going to join us, and we'll get his thoughts on what's been going on. And we're going to discuss the Browns' offensive line situation with him, because so many of the prognosticators and the mock – draft guys are saying that the Browns should entertain the thought of getting an offensive lineman with one of those two picks in the first round. We'll get his thoughts on that when we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily.
I'm getting drunk on a plane. I bet the Phillies.